Turn once again to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up for ever and ever. Let's go back. When you look at verse 1, you find the text, you find lyrics suitable for worship of God. You need to understand this idea of worship. Much is being said about worship. You hear the term used in connection with worship hours, worship teams, worship leaders, worship celebrations, worship, 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 worship. What does it mean? There are people who will use terms that are basically occult terms. Occult because the true meaning is shrouded in darkness. You don't really know what they mean or the use of the terms. But worship is accomplished when you look at what the Bible says and the language, the terminology and the vocabulary that the Scripture uses in terms in connection with the idea, the concept of worship. It is one of complete self-abasement. That is, to humble oneself to the point of putting your face to the dust before God. Now, it's an interesting thing. When you look at what passes for worship today, notice, please, the posture of these who are leading in worship and those who are supposed to be worshiping in these worship hours or whatever, whether you see it on television or you're actually in some of these celebration services. Watch. Repeatedly in the lyrics of the song, God is told to find pleasure in what he hears, to find pleasure in what is offered. Now, that's a curious thing. Basically, God is being told, you should be satisfying, you should be happy with what we're giving you. And yet, when you consider what is to be offered to God, you have to ask the question, is this suitable for praise to God? Is this acceptable to God? It's a curious thing. We've gotten away from the idea that something might not be acceptable to God. If you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find there were two brothers just outside the Garden of Eden. Just after Adam and Eve had been thrust out, you find that Cain and Abel made sacrifice to God. Abel offered of the firstlings of the flock a little lamb. And God had respect to that offering and accepted that offering. On the other hand, Cain also brought an offering, and this was basically, I suppose you say, of vegetables. He brought of the fruit of the ground. He was a cultivator of the ground. He was an agronomist, if you will. He was the first farmer. And he was apparently extremely good at it. And he brought to God what he had produced, or what he had helped cause to come into existence. And God did not accept his sacrifice. He rejected it. And when Cain was upset about that, oh my goodness, I gave you the best I had to offer, and I did this, and it wasn't good enough. Exactly so, it wasn't good enough, because it wasn't what God wanted. You see, Cain offered something that he had a part in producing. Abel, on the other hand, didn't have a thing in the world to do with the production of that little lamb. God accepted Abel's, rejected Cain's, and Cain, like all false religion, hates the true, and when possible, go ahead and vent that. Look, please, at the massacres. Look at the bloodshed of Christians. I mean, the ones who are being slaughtered because they are Christians. To hear of things that really don't make it into the mass media, but you will find being reported on the internet and other places, Christians. I read recently of a college student who was a Christian in Pakistan who was kidnapped and tortured for 5 days by Muslims in a seminary because he would not convert to Islam. And 11 days after he got loose from them, I mean, they finally took him to the police, and they accused him of being a drug addict, trying to steal their water pump. And that was supposed to explain why he was in such sorry shape. 11 days after that, he died of his injuries. He died in a hospital. He videotaped a message to his parents and said, "I did not give up my faith in Christ." There are things like this happening all around the world in third world countries where Christians are being executed, where they're being tortured. You recently heard, even in this country, you heard of the arrest of 100 house church pastors in communist China. Christians are being persecuted. We don't know much about it. We've not known persecution in this country. And yet it's going on. It's going on. Now, you've got people who are standing and waving their hands, holding their hands up to God and praising God, and they say they're worshiping Him, and yet their very posture and their stance is contrary to the very language of worship. Instead of abasing themselves, humbling themselves before God, instead of that, they stand up and strut around with their choreographed performances, and oh yes, we're worshiping God. Not so. Not so. I'm sorry. They're missing the mark. Look, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 51, for instance, here is a psalm. You want to talk about worship? You want to talk about acceptable sacrifices? Look, please, at Psalm 51, verse 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Notice, please, that this broken heart, this contrite heart, this broken spirit, once that's offered, verse 19, "then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness," as burnt offering, whole burnt offerings, but it's not till the heart's right, my friend, until the heart is right. Now, let's go back, please, to Revelation chapter 19. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people, a great multitude. It's a loud, I don't want to call it chanting, you may call it choral speaking. Great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." Oh yeah, remember, throughout the Old Testament, and it never changed in the New, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." I will repay. That's a promise backed by omnipotence. My friend, this is not a thing to play with. You'll note he says, "and hath avenged the blood of his servants at their hand." And again, they said, "Alleluia." Hallelujah, and sometimes you'll see it written hallelujah, essentially the same word, means literally praise the Lord. There is no equivalent term as one word between the Greek and the English, and so they simply transliterated alleluia, "and her smoke rose up forever and ever." Whose smoke? The great whore. The great whore. Her smoke rose up, the judgment rose up forever and ever, and the 24 elders Remember, you were introduced to them back in chapter 4, the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, the 4 living creatures, fell down and worshipped. Notice their position, worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. As a matter of fact, you will find in every instance here in the book of Revelation, when somebody went to give worship to God, it was always on their face. Check it out. See for yourself. All right? Amen. Alleluia. The term amen, incidentally, means so be it, let it be that way. When somebody ends a prayer with amen, it's, may these prayers be answered, what I'm asking for, Lord, let that be the way it is, okay? When in a church service, perhaps a preacher says something, makes a point, and everybody's in agreement with it, and you hear people say, Amen, so be it. On the other hand, sometimes people misuse or abuse that word, Amen. There are things that people really don't mean to emphasize the way amen does. For instance, I'm sure you've seen it happen, a preacher get up and say, now I'll tell you what, folks, if you die without Christ, you're going to go to hell. People say, amen. Well, they mean that's true, but to say amen intelligently means so be it. You want to be careful, okay? Now, verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Now this kind of raises a question. Do you fear him? Do you really fear him? And if you do, in what sense? I don't mean, are you scared of God? Oh, he's going to get me. I don't mean that kind of fear. I mean the kind of fear that is tied to love and respect. I mean, if you fear the Lord, basically, you're talking about not wanting to disappoint him. You don't want him to be displeased with you. All right. Are you concerned about pleasing God? Are you concerned about doing what he wants and obeying his word? He says, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters. Let me digress here a minute. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls, or for that matter, any waterfall where there was water flowing at a great rate? You know what kind of thunder that can make. Niagara, the father of many waters and thunders. Now, he says here, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Omnipotent. There are 3 words that are often used in theological writing and in biblical studies, and they all begin with omni, O-M-N-I, omnipotent, pronounced omnipotent, omniscient, meaning all-knowing, and omnipresent, that is, he's present everywhere. Well, I glance at the clock, and it's time for me to stop again. I hope you'll join me as we continue our study on the next broadcast here on The Bible Says. Join me then.